Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Attract, a suite of powerful marketing tools and assets that enable you to spend less time on marketing and more time growing your business. Attract will give you the technology and the content you need to find your ideal prospect and turn them into your best customer. Visit agencyrevolution.com to receive a free demo of this software today. So, again, welcome to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast. As I have said before, I'll say it very quickly this time, I've interviewed so many terrific thought leaders about big pictures, trends, strategies, forces that we absolutely have to pay attention to, that I wanted to kind of take a change of pace and get our feet on the ground and talk about practical, tactical things that you can put into place by Tuesday. And hence, I packaged, which means that I did three in a row, and I called it a package. Three interviews with people who are very practical, very tactical, and all very successful. So great pleasure to introduce you to an agency principal in this series, Grant Botma. And he is, as I said, different than the previous two. I interviewed a marketer for an agency, and then I interviewed an advisor on social selling to small business and industry. So in this case, Grant Botma, agency principal, really has a very profound understanding of today's consumer, and he has designed a customer journey that you'll want to hear about. And he again shares very openly how he built the journey and the technologies that he uses to guide people along that journey. Also shares a pretty killer strategy on how he gets a 90% response rate to a message. He shares a lot about how he uses technologies to guide the strengthening and the deepening of relationships with his marketplace and prospects, leads, and of course, customers. So it's my privilege to introduce you to this conversation with Grant Botma, and I know you'll enjoy it. Grant Botma, how are you?
I'm doing well, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. And Grant, I think I'd mentioned that you were nominated to be a guest on our podcast series, and I'm pretty sure the person who suggested you was one of the digital marketers or the marketing specialists at Safeco Insurance. So you got some people there who really like what you're doing. And then after that, more than one listener said, hey, can you get that guy? So thank you very much for joining us today. So, Grant, if you'd be kind enough, let's start with a little thumbnail sketch. Who are you, and how did you get to be who you are today?
Yeah, I'm humbled to hear that other people would suggest to have me on the show. To be honest, I'm just another business owner trying to figure it out, and I'm grateful that you'd have me on and honored to answer any questions, share any of the successes and failures that I've had along the way. I'm a business owner in Arizona, and I own an independent insurance agency, but also a mortgage brokerage and an investment advisory firm. So as a whole, my company, which our community knows us as Stewardship, we do home loans, insurance, and investments. And I started these businesses about 12 years ago, and through that 12-year journey have kind of grown to where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And in total, we have a team of just over 20 people. And each person kind of has a specialty or an area of expertise as to how they're serving the people in our community, whether that's they specialize in doing mortgages or PNC insurance or health insurance or estate planning or investments. That's kind of how our team is comprised.
Got it. That's where we're at. All righty. So, I do want to dive into some of the really kind of fun, interesting, and intriguing tactical things that you're doing. But before that, let's take a kind of a strategic overview. So your agency or your conglomerate, it's a little bit different. As you and I have talked about before, back in the day, a lot of my clients, in the early day, okay, I've been in the industry probably twice as long as you have, okay? And back in the day, it wasn't uncommon for particularly the small town PNC agent to also do something else, to be the real estate agent. Or in one case, as I'd mentioned to you, I had a client in a small town who was the PNC guy, the real estate agent, and the bail bondsman, you know. So there were he had his fingers, you know, all over the place and all sorts of pies. So in this day and age, I do see much, much less of that, and I tend to see more focus. So talk to us for a moment about your decision to, you know, in one, I'll put it this way, to not just be a PNC insurance agency, but also to have a couple of other businesses that, you know, in their own right can be pretty demanding. You know, what's the story behind that?
Well, the story behind it is I wanted to help people.
Okay.
As I was in going to school, I was playing basketball at the small Christian College in Arizona, uh-huh. And I was also working as a mortgage loan originator, and that was when kind of the subprime boom and everything was going, and what I was experiencing was there were people that were getting loans done at this place that I was working, and their lives were being altered because of their finances. The relationships that they were having with their spouse or their kids was changing for the negative as a result of negative finances. And mm-hmm. as I kind of dove into that and really did my research, I saw that, man, money's a big deal.
Right.
And it can be something that can hinder relationships, but it can also be something that can uplift them. And I decided I wanted to be a place where people could go to have their finances handled well, whether they knew it or not. There is not one person who comes to my office or is a customer of ours that finances are a result of the finances that we're doing for them are not going to be a part of their financial troubles.
Right.
I just had a desire to make an impact on people's lives in that way. And, yeah, I could have done it just with mortgages, but they were also having issues with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of us have a story as to why we got an insurance, and mine has to do with my brother. He was in an accident. It was his fault. It was an accident, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't do it on purpose. And he didn't have any update to any of his insurance since he was 16 years old. And when
uh-huh.
the accident happened, he was married and with kids, and he didn't have the right coverage because he didn't know, and it demolished him financially, and it impacted his relationship with his wife and his kids. And,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw other people who had, you know, after the crash, their 401ks demolished, and then that also impacted relationships. And the stories go on and on and
mm-hmm.
on. Essentially, I just experienced a lot of different people having a lot of different financial issues, and I wanted to help. And I guess I'm arrogant enough to think I know how to do it the right way.
I don't know if it's arrogance, but you started in the mortgage space?
Correct. Yeah, I started as a mortgage loan originator when I was 19 years old.
Okay, yep. Got it. All right. And the PNC agency, actually, how old is that?
The PNC agency is about 10 years old.
Okay, so I've been in the industry more than twice as long as you have. but you know some things that I want you to share with the rest of our listeners. So let's talk about your, you know, share with us your approach to connecting with the marketplace today. It's, you know, you, like you said, 10 years ago, I don't know if you advertised in the Yellow Pages. Yes, no?
No, Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, it's been fading out for a while. So I was just curious. So some of the old school methodologies of connecting to the community, connecting to the marketplace, you may not even have ever practiced those. And the fact that you have never had a Yellow Pages ad kind of speaks to that. So you have a, you know, you have a kind of from the inception, a relatively modern approach to connecting with customers and prospects. Yes?
Yeah. Our focus is the experience.
Okay.
I believe that people are wired to share experiences in communities. That's the reason why social media blows up, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what essentially everybody's doing is they're sharing and receiving experiences. And what I saw is I could control portions of people's experiences as I was working with them and they were becoming or are a customer.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did early on is took time to think through every step on a big scale and on a small scale, all the experiences that a customer may have from the time that they're discovering us, from the time that they're deciding to use us, and from the time that they've already used us and they're delighting in what we're doing.
Okay, so you actually began to map the customer journey.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And identified, people that are in the field call, like what you're identifying, moments of truth. So those points of contact where you have an opportunity, and you use the word delight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So love the word, and when the insurance industry can deliver it, it's kind of magical. So if you would, share with us what some of your insights were about that, from your point of view, the optimal customer journey.
Yeah, so I'd say first off, if you're a business owner and you haven't taken time to discover what your customer journey to look like, you're missing out, because whether you intentionally ahead of time map that out mm-hmm. or not, they're going to have experience.
They're right? going to have a journey, right?
They're going to, right?
Yeah.
So why not start thinking ahead of time about what you want that journey to look like? And specifically for insurance, while I was going through this customer journey mapping, I found that when the proposed insured was looking to receive quotes from us, the time that it took my staff to create the proposals,
right,
to the time that it took the consumer to respond to the proposals was terrible. And that's because we were doing it just like everybody else was. We were sending a really long email, typing something out, and attaching something that they didn't understand. That's
okay.
not the experience they deserve, right?
Uh-huh.
So I developed this technology that allowed us to send them a text message that says, hey, you know that proposal we promised you? It's available here. Click this link. They click the link in the text message, and then it opens a web page with an infographic-style proposal that clearly shows them all the options that we've put together for them
okay.
in a way that's easy to read and understand, but more importantly, allows us to connect with them personally by embedding a video at the top of that proposal of us going through the proposal with them. So that was one of many points throughout the insurance customer journey that we thought was something that we could improve. And
all right.
It did. It helped us tremendously.
I want to break this one down because I counted three media, so to speak, and we're talking about the beginning of the relationship, right? I mean, they reached out to you. I mean, somewhere along the line, they became a prospect and they wanted a quote. This person,
correct.
Right? Okay, so boom. Instead of an email, in this case, text message.
Yeah,
and
we are trying to.
Yeah, what did you what kind of anecdotal feedback or what has your observation been about that?
We get a much larger response, over 90% response rate to text messages versus email, and more importantly, the speed at which people are responding is dramatically higher.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now if they don't, like the 10% that don't get back, do you then, you've got their mobile number, presumably you call them?
Yeah,
okay.
Correct. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can follow up, right? But of what that tells us is that, hey, they may have not been as interested in the proposal as we initially thought, or maybe we have the wrong number, or there's a lot of different things that could flow through into that. But the whole part of it is the mindset that we had while creating the customer journey was about how can we meet the customer where they're at. We were sending an email in language they didn't understand with an attachment they didn't understand through a medium that they didn't necessarily want to open.
Mm-hmm.
People engage on their cell phones in text message every day, multiple times throughout the day. So why not meet them where they're at? Yes, there are some customers that are out there that want all the details about the proposal, and we as insurance professionals need to advise them well on all these coverages and teach them about some of these things. But we need to do it in a way that they're going to receive it.
Got it.
YouTube videos are watched like crazy. If people want to know how to make something or cook something or build something, they go to YouTube. They watch a video. So why are we not going to do the same thing to teach them about their potential insurance policy that we want them to buy?
So I'm going to kind of click through these media. So the text message has a link to a proprietary website, right? And it has an infographic of their proposal and a YouTube-based video, or you've got some kind of a video that they can watch?
Yeah, we use a free video recording software called Loom.
Loom.com. Got it. Yep. All right.
Yeah, and that allows you to just record your face and also what's on the screen.
On your screen, yeah.
Yeah, so
okay.
We just take that embed code, and then we embed that video on the proposal.
Got it. Okay. Loom, folks, for people who are not familiar with it, I have it, and I can't remember if I'm using the free version or the premium version, but either way, it's not much, right? So,
yeah.
Okay. Yes. So, and it really is a pretty nifty tool. And so, in any case, so the infographic, is that, I assume that you've got sort of probably several that are, you know, that are, and you pull out the right one, like this guy needs this one and this person needs this one, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so the way that it works is when you're creating the proposal, it's a simple form that you fill out where you are first saying what type of proposals do you want to create for them. First, you choose a personal or a commercial line, and then based on what you choose, personal or commercial lines, you then choose, okay, what do I want to put packaged together in this, say, personal lines proposal? And I can click through health, life, auto, home, umbrella, flood,
right,
and whatever. So let's say we're doing an auto, home, and umbrella. Like, click those three, and then it automatically renders in the proposal just those three that I've clicked. And then I can move which one I want to lead with. So we like to lead with home, so then we put home at the front of it. But some people like to lead with auto, so they can put auto in the front of theirs. But, that's what you do. And based on the type of insurance that you are proposing they purchase, the proposal is put together in that manner. In addition, the proposal designs can be picked dependent upon the customer. So you might know that this person is very much used to a certain type of design based on their age or demographic or psychographic, and you can pick a different design type based on that.
Are these, did you build these or have these built from scratch, or are you using like an existing technology?
No, I built it from scratch.
Okay, got it. All right.
We used it in my agency for several years, and our numbers were increasing significantly because we basically cured that bottleneck of the time it takes to create proposals and the time it takes for consumers to respond. But more importantly, because that experience was so unique and the customers had never experienced something like that before with insurance, we used that as an opportunity and to ask them to share their experience. So not only are they receiving and having this experience, we're asking them to share that experience on social media and with other people that they know and that they have influence over, which then increased our referrals. So our business was growing, and these carriers were coming to us and saying, hey, how are you guys doing this much business with such little staff, you know?
Right.
And when I showed them the software, they're like, hey, you should probably sell that to other people. So starting in January of this year, I white labeled it, and I've made it available to agents now. But
Okay, so before we're done, we're going to make sure that we have an opportunity to talk about that. Okay. So it, regarding these infographics, are they adjustable so you can really customize it? So if the presumably it identifies the premium, it identifies the limits and maybe some of the exclusions. How much detail does it go into?
Yeah, you can put as little detail as you want or as much detail as you want.
Got it. Okay.
The design of the infographic is for three different personality types. One is for the person who just wants to know price. We all know those types of customers that are out there. So as a result, the infographics have the carrier name and the price, you know, in bold.
Yeah.
Then underneath that is where you're able to put in the coverage limits, exclusions, different notes.
Okay.
And that's for the second person who wants to know price and the carrier, but they also want to know a few details. But then you can also, for that, you know, maybe engineer type customer or someone who's very analytical, to these proposals, you can also attach the actual document from the carrier or a custom document from your agency. And all they do is click a link in the proposal, and then it opens on their cell phone, and they can analyze to their heart's desire.
All right. Very good. So that's that presumably is early in the customer journey. I'm actually going to ask you to go chronologically before that. So before they jump into your marketing funnel, they need to know about you. They need to have awareness and interest. How do you generate that? How do you communicate with the marketplace in general so that they're stimulated to jump inside your funnel?
The first thing that we do is we train our customers to let them know that we need and we rely on them sharing their experiences with others.
Okay.
We say that statement many times throughout the journey, and then at certain and specific times throughout their purchasing journey, we ask them to share the experience.
And so is that ask done verbally? Is it done when, for example, a customer service rep is talking to somebody, or do you also ask digitally?
It depends upon the journey or the experience point, right? Mm-hmm. So an example might be at renewal, we requote all of our customers with all of our carriers every time, and we resend them a new proposal that's, you know, digitally done in this way that
I just explained. Yeah.
And they are so delighted by that immediately after the renewal experience has ended, even if, and most of our customers decide to stay put and they don't make a change.
Right.
But even after that, we've now earned the right to ask them to share that experience. So we simply, you know, we'll send them an email with links to make it easy for them. Say, hey, click here and write a Facebook post. Or, hey, click here and write a review on our website. And then the reviews on our website then can push to Google or Facebook or wherever else.
Uh-huh.
So either way, we're asking them to share those experiences in areas that they're already sharing experiences. And right now, the bulk of that is happening online.
Got it.
So
okay.
Whether that's Yelp, Google, Facebook, social media, because that's where our customers are living.
All right. So I want to synthesize or summarize what I've got so far. At the very core of this thing is they have to have a delightful experience near the beginning, right? Like when they engage in a real business relationship, they have a good experience. It's unusual. It's unique. It's clearly better than the average insurance experience. So that's the core. Now, because it's a good experience, you're capable of generating referrals and reviews, probably, right? Reviews on Google or Yelp and referrals, and people might share their experience, which then generates more leads and people are willing to jump into the funnel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's more than just creating the experience. That experience, again, has earned us the right to ask for referrals, but this is the important piece, is throughout the customer journey, we're training them that we're going to ask them for referrals, that we're going to ask them to share the experiences. That way, when we do ask them, they're not surprised.
All right, so if I were a new person, how are you going to indoctrinate me to that philosophy? How do you tell me that? Like, how do you train me?
So It's done in a very, very simple and light way. So let's say you're a proposed insured or proposed customer.
Uh-huh.
You want to know a little bit about who you're going to potentially do business with. So we share a part of our story of who we are and why we exist, right? And as we do that, we communicate like, hey, look, we do this for our customers, we do that, as you heard from so-and-so and so-and-so for, you know, the customer that you refer us to, this is the type of experience that we create for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as your dedicated advisor through this process, I'm not going to be working a whole lot and spending a lot of time, energy, and money on new marketing efforts. I'm going to be focusing on you.
Okay.
That's what you deserve.
Well said.
And,
right. Okay.
And if you, because I'm focusing on you and that's what you deserve, I'm going to need your help later to help grow my business. And all I'm going to ask for you to do at some point is to share the experience you have, even if it's bad. If you don't like the experience I'm giving you, I want to know about it, and I mm-hmm. want you to be honest with other people as you talk to them as well.
Got it.
So my commitment to you is I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to focus on advising you well, giving you the best experience possible. I'm going to be a good
Beautiful.
Steward
okay.
of my relationship, and then we do it that way.
Folks, write that down, because he just gave you the script. So now you'd mentioned your story. What is your story? How do you describe that?
Depending on the customer, and the level that we feel like they want to connect. I mean, and I guess I should back up here. Our goal is not to share our story and invite people into that. That's not what customers want. We have to position ourselves as experts. That are willing to guide them through their story where they can invite us in.
Ah, okay.
So we want to tell our story in a way that says to the person subconsciously, hey, we're safe. You can invite us in to your story, and you can invite us in to what you have going on into your life.
And so how do you communicate that safety in a way that it's not just a word or intellectual, but it's actually something people feel?
Ideally, it's connecting them with the person or the individual that has referred them to us. And if not there, then it's about really hitting home on some empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, well, we'll communicate something about, let's just say, insurance. We'll say something in our script look, we understand that the previous insurance company that you worked with didn't make you feel valued. We think that's just plain wrong, because you pay your premiums on time, every time. That's why we, as your independent advisor, have structured our business this way to help you in this other way and kind of mm-hmm. lead to it from there. So it starts with empathy of why we understand their frustrations, understand their struggles, or understand whatever problem it was that has made them reach out to us. A problem they believe that we could potentially meet, and then we communicate after that empathy our authority on how we are able to meet that problem.
Got it. Well done. So, all right. So let's say now I'm a delighted new customer, right? Mm-hmm. Now I suspect that, unlike a lot of other insurance agencies, it's not going to be a year before I hear from you again.
Correct.
I'm going to have ideally some sense of the fact that you are present in my life, and that you do matter, and you do deliver delight and perhaps meaning in the relationship. So how do you do that? How do you maintain a presence in the lives of your customers throughout the year?
First off, we enter their information into automated campaigns, such as birthday cards and different things that go out. Almost everybody does that stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? But the next thing that we do is we have people on staff that are looking at our customers' social media profiles to see if there's anything that we can celebrate with them. You know, an example, we might have a customer whose, son just graduated in karate from white belt to yellow belt, and we'll all send them the boy a card with some candy.
Oh,
hey, man. Good job,
customer
like
for
that.
Life.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have somebody who's on your team who's responsible for like buzzing through customer Facebook pages.
Correct.
So you, what do? You connect And you follow your customers through your business page, or?
No. So on Facebook, you know, all of us as advisors are going to try and friend our these people on Facebook directly. I mean, we're going to be social on social media.
Yeah.
And that
okay.
includes friending people that we are starting new relationships
okay,
with.
Okay. So now, do you have a Facebook page for the agency?
We do, and that's another part into answering your question about how we're going to connect with them afterwards. We're going to add their information to some targeted Facebook advertising to them as customers that's going to communicate to them a couple of different pieces of content that we send out. Every Monday, I do a Facebook Live video where I talk about something about finances.
Mm-hmm.
We do every Thursday, we send out an edited video where we're talking more about some finances. And then every Tuesday, we're doing a blog post. And essentially, the purpose of this stuff is to communicate that we are their guide. We are their expert. We are their steward in this journey, in this story of theirs. And this is constantly showing up in their feed on a weekly basis. So they're seeing our logo. They're seeing our faces. They're seeing our great content. And they're able to engage with that.
All right. So I want to make sure everybody got that. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, boom, boom, boom. Facebook Live Monday. Blog post Tuesday. Edited video Thursday, right? And I'm going to throw one more on because I think you Instagram daily. Am I right about that?
I do. Yep. I do Instagram stories every day. Yep.
Okay. So, talk to us openly about this, of the platforms that you use. So we know you're using Facebook and you're using video on Facebook, et cetera. What kind of traction do you think you're getting from Instagram?
Well, when you do an Instagram story, it tells you how many people have at least looked at it, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, it's a bad day if I don't get at least 300 views on an Instagram story that I have.
Okay.
And recently, I've been making my call to action, which is very important on every piece of content that you have. You got to have a simple, clear call to action. On Instagram lately, my call to action has been send me a direct message, DM me with whatever questions you have. And I probably average about 30 questions a day.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Okay.
So that's kind of where
I'm sorry. I apologize. I missed this. How do they communicate to you directly?
So on Instagram, you can send what's called a direct message.
Got it.
And Facebook, you know, people call it like personal message. But
yeah. Okay.
It's like Instagram's version of an email. Essentially.
And is that in all of your Instagram stories or posts, you're putting your call to action?
I always have a call to action in every piece of content that I have.
Okay. Okay. Sorry for interrupting. I'm getting excited.
You're good. Yeah. So every piece of content, we're going to have a call to action. And typically it's one of two things.
Yeah.
On Instagram, on the stories, it's send me a direct message. Sometimes it's, hey, go to our blog. A lot of times with these stories, I'm just rehashing content that I've already done. Rehashing content about a blog or maybe just a portion of the blog.
Yeah.
The next day I'll do the next portion of it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Facebook pixels that are on each one of our or all of our website, right? So anytime someone hits a particular blog of ours, we know that they're interested in, say, that particular topic,
right,
which then allows us to send them more content about that topic.
I'm going to ask you to pause for a second for the listeners who have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So a Facebook pixel, Facebook has a thing called Facebook Business Manager. And to be honest with you, this is something that's fairly new to me. It's not like I've been doing this for years, but I have someone on staff who manages our social media business advertising. And Facebook, you can get a Facebook business page, which a lot of us have. But with that business page, you can also get into what's called Facebook Business Manager. And Facebook Business Manager allows you to create ad accounts, and these ad accounts give you a piece of code. And this piece of code, you copy and paste it on a particular web page, and this code then tracks when people visit that web page, which then allows you to send them messages based on the fact that they've visited that web page. So we know, you know,
let's exemplify this. So let's say Michael visited Grant's blog, and you had a blog about, give me a topic.
Okay, what was the blog that I did today? Oh, the blog I did today that got published was how to still have good insurance rates with a bad record.
Okay, so let's, for the sake of discussion, let's say Michael has a bad record.
Right.
Okay. So how did I know about that?
I pointed you to that through the call to action through either the Instagram video or the Instagram story, the Facebook video, the blog that you're maybe a customer of ours, or maybe you know somebody who has a bad record, so you shared our post with somebody else.
Got it.
Somewhere online you got to it.
Okay.
But
So I read your blog and boom, you know, because it has a pixel, it knows I was there. Now what happens?
So based on the fact that you visited there, our content and, social media manager will then say, okay, these people have visited this page and we want to make sure that they become customers of ours. So we're going to send them more content about being a, you know, getting a better rate on their insurance or something that's related to that. So we'll, that's the part of the funnel. So we'll continue to give them more information so that the relationship with us can be trustworthy. But a lot of it, honestly, is after they've viewed content with us, we want to hit them with authority. We want to hit them with testimonials from other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be sending them, you know, pieces of information on Facebook that have testimonials of somebody saying, hey, we use stewardship insurance, and it was a great experience. They even recorded a personalized video during the proposal process in a way that I could understand, and I saved X amount of dollars, and it was great.
And that's automated.
Yeah,
correct. Right? When you say we can send, essentially what has happened is you've set it up to happen.
Right, and that's a part of the customer journey, too. We've engineered ahead of time. This is what we want people to experience. This is what we want people to read. We want people to see. We want people to hear whenever they're discovering during the discovery phase of the customer journey. This is what we want them to discover.
Got it. So. All right. Okay. So now we've identified your use of Instagram. We've identified your really fairly aggressive use of Facebook. Congratulations on that. What about LinkedIn for the B2B commercial lines?
Yeah, so we have an a LinkedIn strategy as well. Essentially, it's the same stuff. It's taking our blog posts. It's taking our videos and doing different things and posting them strategically at strategic times throughout the week. It's
okay,
essentially taking a lot of the same content.
Right. So let's see. On Monday, you've got that Facebook, you got a live Facebook video, right? Do you maybe jump on if it's related to something that, it might connect with a commercial lines customer? Do you notify people on LinkedIn about that, or how do you drive people?
To be honest with you, I don't know the specific strategy.
Okay, fair enough.
my contract employee who manages all that for me does it. As a matter of fact, I recently had another business associate come to me over the last week. He was like, hey, can I talk to you about your LinkedIn strategy? I want to make sure that we're doing that. How exactly do you do it? Or what's the science behind it? And in my head, I'm like, I don't even know, man.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, you're obviously, you're pretty intimately familiar with your Facebook strategy, but you are still, you do use LinkedIn and you post on LinkedIn.
Correct.
And presumably that's got more of a business flavor to it than the Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. All right. So, any other technologies that you use for communications?
Yeah, so another way that we're able, look, let's just be real for a second about insurance. Margins are getting tight. carriers are lowering commissions. It's getting tougher and tougher to profit. So as a result, we as agency owners and agents need to be wise with our resources. And we need to be able to do more business in less time than basically ever before. So to me, that means you have to utilize automation whenever you can.
Mm-hmm.
And we There are several amazing automation platforms out there. We use Infusionsoft. We really like that. Some people call it Confusionsoft because it's very, very detailed and confusing. but for us, we really like it, and it works well. Again, because we've mapped out our customer experience and the entire journey, we can then look at that map and say, these are areas where we can send automated communication. And there's a couple rules with automation. You don't ever use it unless it enhances the relationship. If it's not going to enhance the relationship with somebody, don't do it. Additionally, if it ever is going to feel automated from the customer's perspective, own it. Because if you try to make something not feel automated and send it off,
got it.
If it's one thing our generation does, it can sniff out bullcrap real quick.
Okay, very good.
And they'll say, hey, you know what? I don't want to engage with that. So, yeah, we use Infusionsoft, and we automate certain pieces of communication, and that dramatically lowers the amount of time that my staff has to spend writing emails, text messages, making phone calls, sending voice messages, and the like.
All right. I have one more question for you, Grant. It's not a question. I'm going to ask you to say something. So if you wanted to deliver a message to the insurance industry or to the retail insurance agent in general, something pithy, okay? So like on a billboard, what would you say to the insurance industry right now? If you wanted to kind of get their attention and say, doggone it, do this, what do you want to say?
People make decisions based on emotion and experiences. So you need to proactively and ahead of time engineer and design what experiences and emotions you want your customers to have, because they're going to have the experiences and emotions. And if you don't design it, somebody else is designing it elsewhere.
Yeah, somebody else is designing it for you. Grant, this has just been a jam-packed conversation. So I would really want to express my appreciation for your generosity. So before we go, if somebody has a question for you, if somebody wants to talk to you about this super exciting proposal software, which, by the way, I haven't seen, but you got to show it to me at some point so I can talk about it a little more intelligently. How can people make contact with you?
Yeah, so the proposal software is neotericagent.com, neotericagent.com. So neoteric basically just means a forward-thinking person. So N-E-O-T-E-R-I-C, neotericagent.com. And that's where they can not only sign up for a free 30-day free trial, but you can also request a sample proposal to see what it feels like from the customer's experience, to see if that's the type of experience you want to give people. So that's where they can go for that. I am going to be speaking at several insurance events here in the future. I think I'm headed to an event in Michigan in a couple of weeks. I can't remember what it's for. I think it's like a PIA
convention.
Uh-huh. So if people are in town or around that area, happy to chat with you guys there up in Michigan. We're going to the National IAOA conference, so I'm speaking there. I'm actually... at that conference, I am giving everybody 100% of my automated journey. So it's going to be an interactive experience for people that are sitting in the chairs listening to the presentation. They're literally from their cell phones going to be receiving every email and every text message and every voicemail that we send to people during the journey. So they'll be able to literally copy and paste it to their agencies if they want. So if you guys are going to that, that's, I think, at the end of January. You can go to IAOAlliance.com for that, and I'll be there speaking. Those are a couple of different ways.
Yeah, very good. I think that's in Las Vegas.
Correct, yes, yeah. Las Vegas, yes.
Okay, an excellent organization. So, Grant, I know you're in Arizona. You know I'm in Arizona. Yes, I'm a little bit of ways away from it. One of these days, I'd love to get you to the casita.
Hey, Arizona is the place to be, especially coming up quick here in a couple of months after the Innovation Conference. That's when the weather gets good. Spring training will be here. I got season tickets to Cubs spring training.
No way. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I did pick up one Cubs. My brother was in town, so I picked up a Cubs spring training game last year. So perhaps I'll see you out there.
Yes, we'll have to make it happen.
Yeah, okay.
We'll have to make it happen.
All righty, Grant, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I'm sure you're going to get some emails or phone calls. So look forward to our next conversation.
Hey, honored to be on, and anytime I can be helpful and encouraging people, I'm going to do my best to be that. So,
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.